Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us, as she usually does. It's Friday, October the 2nd. We're going to be talking with her about teaching a Sunday school lesson. Today, one of the more dramatic stories from the life of the prophet Elijah. It's probably the one he's most known for, although there are a lot of dramatic stories in Elijah's career. This one is Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You know the story, and you know how it comes out. Why is it there? Why is, I mean, other than just kind of a confrontation between the true God and a false God, what is in there of Christ? Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Todd. How are you today?
Very well.
Great.
This is a very dramatic story, and it'll keep your attention. There's no doubt about it. But what does it have to do with the center of Scripture, Jesus Christ and his saving work?
Well, that's what the story is all about. It's about making crystal clear for the people of God who seem to have gotten rather confused as to who the one true God is and who he is for them. And that true God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Christ is here with the Father and the Spirit, and this is a showdown between false gods and true gods. And it's, I think, foreshadows, prefigures the ultimate showdown with Christ on the cross of Calvary against Satan and the victory, ultimate, complete victory he had over all that is false and all that comes from Satan there on the cross. So this is all connected and all really very important and very dramatic, very exciting. I think this is another one of those Bible stories that particularly the boys in Sunday school get real eager to read and talk about. But the task will be to help the children see God's love and kind of tough love in this, because it seems like God's being very harsh and very almost mean and angry, and why would a loving God do that? That's the question. And then where is the grace in this story? There is grace, and there's a lot to talk about.
Set the stage for us and tell us the story, beginning with the depth to which God's people have sunk in their idolatry. By the time Elijah confronts the false prophet of Baal there on Mount Carmel, how far have they gone, the people of God?
Well, here we hear in this story, and this follows in succession the past few weeks that we've been talking about the people of God, that there are 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. The king had married Jezebel, and she is eating, table fellowshipping with these false prophets, and has brought them in to the people of God, to the Israelites, and they, as the text here says, they're limping. They don't know who's the real God, who's the true God. Some maybe believe, some maybe don't. There's confusion and uncertainty, and so people are kind of covering all their bases, making sacrifices and doing things to keep everybody happy, thinking they've got to earn some God's favor here. And you have the one prophet, Elijah. So things have really turned away from the true God. And this follows on the 3 years of drought. The rain had not come, and this was part of God saying, wake up, people. Look at, you know, what you've done, and getting their attention, kind of shaking them, this follows on that, and this is a very dramatic thing. It's almost like, you know, how many signs does God have to give us sometimes? Apparently many, and sometimes very dramatic ones to wake us up to our sinful looking away from Him.
So what's the story in a nutshell? Because it really is, just classic kind of attention-grabbing stuff.
Well, that's right. You've got the prophet telling the king, you know, gather all the prophets together. And so you get all 450 and 400, you know, nearly 1,000 false prophets and Elijah. And they are gathered there with all the people on Mount Carmel. And Elijah, you know, he says, how long are you going to keep this limping between these gods? How long are you going to be not trusting the true God? And he points out that he's the only prophet left of the Lord, and here are all these people. And so this is a moment of truth. He says, let's see who the real God is. We're going to sacrifice, and we're going to build altars, and we're going to put a bull. We're going to cut up a bull and on each altar, and we're going to ask our respective gods to rain down fire, to send lightning, to burn up that bull. And when that happens, the people will know. And that's a pattern that people understand in this day, that a true prophet, his words come true. So these visible things are going on. And so the people of the prophets of Baal build their altar, put the bull on it. They pray, they whine, they cry to their false gods. Nothing happens. All morning long, nothing happens. Pleading with him. Then they cut themselves and using swords and lances, and, you know, the blood is gushing from their own bodies to get their God's attention. And this goes on until the evening offering. Midday is past. No one answers. No one pays attention. Well, now the people are wondering, and Elijah steps in and says, come here, come here. You can almost imagine the chaos. And he calls the people to pay attention to him now, and he prepares his altar, and very much in line with the worship that God had commanded, 12 stones according to the tribes of the sons of Jacob, builds the altar, and then he puts a trench around it, a huge trench, and he puts wood on it. And then we have the bowl put on it, and then he instructs them to fill 4 jars of water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. And he instructs them to do that 3 times. Now, this would be a great, something to show kids in a small way, if you can go outside, that, you know, something that is water-soaked isn't going to burn. You know, you don't put wet wood on a fire and get a fire burning. But Elijah's doing this to make the point even more dramatic. And then he prays to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and says, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and ask God to send down the fire. And the fire comes and burns up everything, the offering, the altar, the wood, the water that's fallen into the trench. And the people, you know, now they're afraid, but God's got their attention, and they are looking to him in fear. And then the command to seize the prophets, the false prophets, and to slaughter them. That's how the text ends, and that's kind of tough. Send them down to the brook and slaughter them there. And that's the end of the story this week.
I want to come back to the violent end of this thing first, but it's, you know, it strikes me, I've read it, I've told it many times, the same story, that for Elijah, this is a no-brainer. There's no real tension here for Elijah. He cannot be sitting there thinking, well, maybe God will do this, maybe he won't. He knows for a fact that Baal doesn't even exist. Baal is an imagination, a figment of the prophet's imagination. The false prophets do seem to believe that Baal is real. Talk a bit, with only about a minute and a half here, about kind of the depths of that blindness and idolatry.
Well, they have fallen into the sin that it's so easy for any of us to break that first commandment and to have other gods. the drought has been going on, and they've, you know, in desperation, they've looked to these false gods who very much were tied to the seasons and to the rain and to the time of the year and to the elements, as often false gods are tied to. And so the people had looked away, and not only looked away, but began to worship and think that they had to do something to earn these false gods' favor and providence. And it's a complete turning away from the true God, who doesn't require these things of us and who wants only good for his people. But it was very much a turning their back on the true God. And
with only about 30 seconds, people will say, that's the ancient world, those are old false gods. Is the same true of our idolatry today, with only about 30 seconds?
Absolutely, and that's where we really got to go with this lesson with the kids. Otherwise, it's just an amazing, wow story from the Old Testament. But very much, we have false religions that are prominent in this world that we hear about and we see, and our kids go to school with other children who believe in false gods of Eastern religions and Islam and all kinds of things. But there's also the false gods. As Jesus said, you know, you cannot serve both God and mammon and money. Our false gods of our possessions or our position or our wealth. So there's lots to talk about here in our everyday lives where we could be tempted and often are tempted to sin like the Israelites. Very important discussion for Sunday School this week.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest, Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Their curriculum for Sunday School is called Growing in Christ. I'll tell you about it on the other side of the break. In the next hour, we're going to discuss strength in the Scriptures. Pastor Eric Rotman of Good News Magazine will be our guest. In the meantime, 10 more minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen after this. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday School lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues Etc. online at issuesetc.org.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, the famous story. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Concordia Publishing House will even send you free samples of Growing in Christ. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand and look for Growing in Christ. You mentioned that it ends with down at the Brook of Kidron, hundreds, I guess we're given to believe, you know, all 400 prophets of Baal are killed down there. That's a tough one, especially with the little kids, to tell without some kind of explanation. Someone's going to raise their hand and say, as you said before, is this a loving God?
That's right. And teachers, this is why we prepare to teach a lesson on Sunday morning, so that we don't get in the classroom and get hit with this and are tongue-tied, wondering ourselves, what's this all about? This is why it's so important to prepare. Harsh words, this is the law, and yet this is a loving God protecting his own dear children. And I think with the littlest children, well, with any of them, we don't need to go into detail. The children who can read the scripture understand the word slaughter, and we don't need to spend time talking about what that might have been or how it was. These prophets were killed. Their lives were ended, and I think that the clearest message out of this is that you, boys and girls, are a child of God, and he loves you so much, just as he loved the children of Israel, that he will not let something that is this evil and that will take you away from him continue. And he stepped in, and these people were bad, bad, only evil. They did not believe in God, and their work was to hurt God's children. And God, because he loved his children, because he loves you, put a stop to that, and he ended their lives so that his children could live. And harsh, but loving at the same time, incredibly loving, that we have a God who loves us that much that he would go to such lengths to end what harms his children. And again, only a foreshadow of the harshness, but the vast, deep, rich love of God for his children, that he would take the life of his own son on the cross of Calvary so that we did not have to die. This is the love of God, and that's how we have to talk about it and explain to children that this was God's love for his people.
So what's the basic difference between Elijah's prayer and the prayer of those many prophets of Baal?
Well, Elijah's prayer was a prayer, first of all, to a true God. And it was a prayer that was prayed in faith, believing that God would do what he said. And the prophets of Baal, their praying is a pleading, and it's a conditional kind of thing. They think they have to do something with their false God to get him to act. And that's so opposite from our God, who provides what we need, who promises to give us all things that we need in this life, and who promises to hear our prayers and answer them. You know, their prayer was accompanied by almost chaotic pleading and carrying on, and then slicing their own bodies open and letting the blood flow to get the attention of their God. Is we have a God of order and a God of love and a God who says, I will do these things for you, and doesn't make it conditional on what we say or what we do. We have the true God, one who will truly answer. And that's an important thing to point out. And if we can talk to our children about the other religions in the world, there's not another religion like true Christian faith that has a God who gives without these conditions. He put the conditions on himself, on his own son, and paid the price for our transgressions. Every other religion requires you to do something, to earn God's favor, to sacrifice, to do all manner of things. Those are all false. God sacrificed his son on the cross, and that's the true God, and that's the final, complete, ultimate sacrifice we don't have to do anymore because Christ did it for us. Very clear, distinct differences, and ones that we need to help kids see today in a world that says, all roads lead to heaven. You know, you pray to Allah, I pray to God, to Christ, you pray to the Old Testament God if you're a Jew, if you want to pray to the Hindu gods, it's all fine, it's all good. That's what the world's telling us, that's what we're being taught in public schools and universities and on the TV. We really have to help children, and this is a wonderful story to show that our God, the true God, has no patience for false religion, for false gods, and he will defend his children against those things.
We live not only culturally but religiously in a both and society where and I guess the word we wouldn't use it with the kids, but it certainly is true, syncretism. We mix things together.
Yes.
And this story, if it says nothing else, says it's not both and, it's either or. If you would, with only about a minute here before we close up, set that in the context of Christ's once-for-all sacrifice. For all men, his statements like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, as you would for the kids after telling the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. 1 minute or so.
Oh, wow. This is why, and I was even thinking, I want to teach my older kids this word syncretism. It's very important, and it is very important in our day to help them understand how serious God is. You know, when he says, I am a jealous God, he is, for good reason, out of love for us. We cannot soften what he has made clear. We can't make fuzzy what he's made clear, that he is the one true God from whom we get our life, our being, our eternity, forgiveness, salvation. There's only one source of that. There's only one source of all that we need in our lives, and that's this true God. And to pretend that it isn't, to give in to the world's urgings, to fuzzy those edges and to look to other people or things or false gods for our sustenance, for our good, for our lives. God has no tolerance for this, and his lack of tolerance and his anger for this comes out of his love for us, because that is evil and it's bad for us. It leads us away, ultimately, completely away from him and from eternal life and forgiveness and salvation. And so, boys and girls, this is hard stuff, but this is the stuff of a loving God who wants to make sure that you spend eternity in heaven with him. And no matter what the world tells you, there is one true God and his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. And you need only to look to him. You must only look to him all your days. He loves you, and he cares for you now and in eternity. That's the message of this story.
Next time, Pam, with about 30 seconds, what are we talking about?
I'm not sure. I'm sorry. Somewhere in 2 Kings.
And if you're not sure, it's better to leave it unsaid.
That's right.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
Folks, if you appreciate our series on teaching a Sunday school lesson, I know so many of our listeners do, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. You can make a secure online donation. Issuesetc.org is our website. You can also make a gift by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and thank you in advance for your support of Issues, etc. In the next hour, we're going to talk with Pastor Eric Rautman about strength in the Scriptures. It's not what you think it is, and it's not like strength in our everyday life. Strength in the Scriptures has a lot more to do with what we would call weakness, what we would call a lack of resources, what we would see as even the weakness of a man hanging dead on a cross. Do you know that that's where God is strongest to be seen for you? When his son is hanging dead on the cross, having finally, in the strength of his mercy and his love and his death, conquered sin, death, and the devil for you. And do you know, that's where you are strongest as well. When we come back, we'll talk about strength in the Scriptures. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.